all names this morning. And you are our Savior and our Redeemer, and we praise you so very much. Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the subject of the last miracle. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit that we've been made to feel. And Lord, I now ask for the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit, only that which he can give, to preach your word in power and in truth and to have the mind of God. And Lord, I know that'll make it a blessing and an uplifting to your people. And Lord, centrally what we want to accomplish today above all else is we want to hold up Jesus Christ. And Lord, help me to do that today. And we'll not fail to give you all the power, all the praise for the power and glory that you bestow upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I heard or read of two events this week that really just stymied my spirit. The first was the National Association of Evangelicals had a meeting this past week with President Obama. And the leader of this group, his name was Chavez, he stated that during the meeting with President Obama, that it felt just like a bunch of believers getting together to have a discussion. And I thought, how could they say this? It shows you the spiritually deplorable state that this organization has sunk to, that at one time was, in fact, started right to glorify Jesus Christ. And most every major denomination in the United States of America, whether they be Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever, had representatives in this meeting. And this gentleman went on to talk about how warm President Obama was to them and what a great man of faith in Jesus Christ he was. Now, can you believe that? That's got to show you how close to the end times we are. And it shows you the state that the church is in, that the church is more concerned about fawning at the feet of human power than it is in giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ and placing his desires above human flesh. It's something that Scripture bears out, that you can be so thinking at times you're doing a service for God and for Jesus Christ and can actually be fighting against his true purpose and his true self. Now think of that. To fight against Jesus. The second thing I heard was, and I'm not going to, well, yeah, I will go this far. It was a denomination I was formerly in. One of their bright lights from Atlanta, Georgia, one of their leading pastors, had posted on the internet the church's new direction, the new vision for the church. This is one of the largest in that particular denomination. He said, "We're going to adopt the theme, the Lord has shown us gone country." Now, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. When I first heard it, I did what you did. I thought, what kind of nut is this? But then I couldn't resist it. They had a YouTube presentation, and I'm not one to get on YouTube too terribly often, but I thought, I've got to go see what these guys are doing. So here they were all. This was in their worship service. They're all dressed in country and western attire, wearing cowboy hats. And the pastor was leading the way in this. He and his wife, pastor said it was his wife's idea to do this choreography. They were line dancing during the worship service to Brooks and Dunn's Boot Scoot Boogie. I thought, how grievous that must be to the Holy Spirit. Because it grieved me, and I'm not trying to set myself up as some super holy guy, but I'm like, my Lord, what's happened here? And as I was preparing this message, the Lord began to show me some things. And I thought about that former, well, it was the Church of God. You all know it, my background. My family helped start in West Virginia that denomination and establish it there. And I thank God that when I was in that organization that it had progressed somewhat and that it was so legalistic when it first started. I mean, as a young child, I was afraid I was going to hell if I batted my eyebrow wrong. And I'm glad that somewhat they moved past that, all the legalism that was in it. But let me tell you what happened. The pendulum swung too far the other way. What happened? I said, Lord, what happened? And the Holy Spirit quickly spoke back to me and he said, they lost their fear of me. They lost their fear and respect of me. They moved forward in some areas, but they overlooked me in the process of moving forward and have now lost their fear of me. And I thought, that's a picture of most of the church world. I don't want to hone in on that denomination. It's a perfect picture of the modern church world, where the church no longer goes to Jesus and says, what do you want? It invents its own little snippets and its own little ways of worship, and they think he is accepting of that. And I know it sickens the Holy Spirit. Think of that. I'm not a big Brooks and Dunn fan. I don't listen to them that much, but I do. I have heard that song before. How many of you have heard it before? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm preaching to such an unholy crowd this morning. You'll know what I'm talking about. No, I'm just kidding. But in the course of that song, they're singing about going to a bar and getting drunk and dancing. How could anybody who has the Holy Spirit residing in them want to incorporate something like that into a worship service? I submit to you that this pastor doesn't even know Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you speak in tongues, and I don't care how big your church is. If Jesus Christ is not the center of it, if Christ and Him crucified is not the central focus of everything that's being taught and preached, you have a human social club. And you're actually fighting against God by establishing such. You're actually fighting against the cause of Jesus Christ. And the Lord took me to the story in our text this morning. The Holy Spirit is telling me to say something. The time is over when anybody can remain in a gray area, spiritually speaking. It's over. It's over. You're going to have to wholly sell out to Jesus Christ and go after Christ and Him crucified. And if your church or your organization is not preaching and teaching that, you had better get out of it. and go find somewhere or get on, get the home church videos from Brother Swaggart and watch that. You'll be far better off. It's over. It's over. There's no gray area. We're living in the last days. Jesus Christ is about to step out on a cloud of glory, and the trump of God is going to sound. Hallelujah. We don't have much longer left. Glory to God. He's coming. He's coming. And there's going to be multiplied millions, I believe, who think they're doing God a service, and they're going to miss the rapture when it happens. Because they've lost their fear of God, and they've gone into systems of belief and styles of worship that are actually fighting against Jesus Christ, thinking all along they're doing Him service. This story today graphically proves that. It'll be some 24 hours or less before Jesus goes to the cross. The text said He knew that all things were fulfilled and that His time was at hand. And I find it rather humorous that Rome, led by the Roman garrison, led by Judas Iscariot. Now I want you to see this. It's so important, I believe, to bring out. A Roman garrison had 600 of the finest armed soldiers that Rome's army had. Why the need to send such a powerful force after one Jewish rabbi? Why? Because they knew in their hearts He was who He said He was. And as Judas had betrayed Him, and they approached Him, I love this. He stands, the Lord of glory, and asks them, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now I want you to get this scene. Here's the Roman army, a garrison of some probably 600 people, men, the finest soldiers they have to offer. And with one breath, Jesus says, "I am He." Boy, that sent chill bumps over me when I read it in Scripture this week and even now. That declaration, "I am He." And the Bible says, based on that declaration alone, 600 of Rome's finest fell backwards in defeat. They could not have taken Him had He not wanted to be taken. When you think of Jesus, don't ever think of Him as some namby-pamby weakling in the flesh. Because there was nobody that could have touched Him had He not allowed it to be so. And at His declaration, 600 of the most powerful of Rome's army fell to the ground. At just the declaration, He said, "I'm He." He wasn't just saying, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." He's saying, "I am God. I am God, the one you have come after. I am about to pay the price for the possibility of your men's redemption." And they fell backward. And then they gathered themselves together. Now, I don't know about you, but it shows you the hardness of man's heart. If I had been one of those Roman soldiers, I would have went running and I would have got out of there. I mean, I wouldn't have hung around no time. But that shows you the hardness of man's heart. They pull themselves back together and come and ask the second time. Jesus asked them, "Who are you seeking?" They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I'm here." And then, as Judas Iscariot approaches the Lord of glory and plants a kiss of betrayal on His cheek, Peter takes the sword out of his sheath and reaches out and strikes at Malchus, the high priest's servant. Now, what's the significance of that? Peter, every evidence from Scripture shows that Peter wanted to kill Him. Peter was ready to fight a natural fight for Jesus Christ. Peter was doing all he could within his limited power to protect Jesus Christ and to prevent this crowd from taking Him. Now, let's stop here for a minute and establish Peter's relationship to Jesus. He's walked with him for all 3 years of his public ministry. He's seen every miracle that the Lord has worked. He's heard his teaching numerous times when Jesus would tell the disciples, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He's going to go to Jerusalem where he'll be crucified and rise again in 3 days. Telling them plainly, this is the Father's will. This is what I came to do. And here Peter, one of the Lord's closest disciples, was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transformed into his glory, reaches out through human effort and tries to stop this crowd of Roman soldiers from taking him to the cross. And every evidence is that Peter wanted to kill. When he drew the sword out and he lunged at Malchus, he meant to kill him. He really wanted to split his skull open. But Malchus moved, seeing the attack coming, and Peter cut off his right ear with the sword. Now, I want you to see this. It's important we get this. We don't have it recorded here in John 18. The actual miracle is recorded in Luke chapter 22 at verse 51. Where after Peter had cut off Malchus's ear, Jesus reaches down, picks that ear up, and reattaches it to the head of Malchus. Now think of that. If the declaration of I am he and fallen down weren't enough to make me afraid of this man, him supernaturally reaching down and reattaching somebody's ear, I don't know. I don't know. But again, it shows you the hardness of man's heart, doesn't it? And how once man sets his heart against God, the depths he can go to, and how easy it is to ignore Jesus Christ. But Jesus reaches down and heals Malchus. Now, here's the point I'm wanting to bring out. 2 points today, major ones. Number one, Peter, this was the second time he had found himself in this situation, was absolutely certain that he was doing God's will by fighting for Jesus. And he was actually working contrary to the will of God. Because it was God's will that Jesus go to the cross. I thought, how many churches are in, and individual Christians are in the position of Peter this morning? Absolutely certain they're doing God's will. Absolutely certain what they're doing is right because it feels good to them. And I thought, my Lord, this is a sobering message this morning. The Lord's having me preach. It sobered me. And I thought, my Lord, we've got to make sure in the church, everything we do, every practice we implement is coming from this word right here. Because if we do not diligently search the word for the practice of our faith and how to basically operate the church, we're going to wind up just like Peter, doing things that feel good to us but are flagrantly contrary to the word of God. My Lord, my Lord. That's why I was sharing with Brother Phil, who's visiting with us today. And you've heard me say this many times before. I don't want nothing but Jesus and him crucified. I know that's all we need. That's all I need. Hallelujah. I know if my family needs healed, I know if I need help in any way, that it's going to come through what he did for me on the cross. And I know as long as that's being preached and that's being taught, and we lead people to the foot of the cross, they're going to find the power of God. They're going to find newness of life. They're going to find the transforming, life-giving power that only Jesus Christ can give. And I don't want to find myself ever working contrary to the will of God. Because as close as Peter was to him, think of who we're talking about here. You would think this man of all would know the perfect will of God, wouldn't you? But you know what? Here, now let's turn to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second thing that I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to see in this morning. Jesus does not condemn Peter. Thank God there have been times, I'm ashamed to admit, in my life and ministry when I know I've worked against him. the one who went to the cross for me. There's been times, sadly, I know I've done things as I look back now that I was working contrary to his perfect will. And I pray, and that's my prayer this morning, Lord, never let me do it again. But Jesus did not tell Peter, Peter, you're no longer my disciple. You've messed up. You're working against the will of God here, boy. I'm done with you. No, he just tells Peter, Peter, put away the sword. And then he reaches down and grabs that bloody ear. I can't imagine what a mess that must have been. And then touches the side of Malchus's head. It was the right hand. I'll get it right. Yeah, that's right. Just reattaches it. Boom. What a miracle. And this would be the last miracle that he would work on earth. This would be his very last physical healing before going to the cross. And I believe it is probably the most important one because of what it speaks. It speaks of his grace. Don't you feel that? It speaks of his grace. It's a perfect picture of his grace toward humanity. Because number one, he doesn't chide those that are his own. Even though Peter was working contrary to his purposes, he saw in Peter something, and here's what every believer must allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate in their heart. He saw Peter was wrong at this point in time, but he also saw in Peter's heart a desire to want to follow him exclusively. Now, if you've got that, he'll send the Holy Spirit time after time to pull you back and show you graphically in some way the direction you're going is wrong. But the trouble is, with there being no fear of God in the church today, the church doesn't even want to know any longer what he thinks. The church doesn't want to know, Lord, am I doing the right thing here? And once you've lost that, you are in the most dangerous of positions spiritually because you go into all kind of foolishness. That's when you get the boot scoot boogie in your worship service. That we look at and it's laughable. It's enough to make you want to cry. That's when you get the National Association of Evangelicals calling President Obama a warm fellow brother in Christ. That shows you the blindness that can come upon those who allow their hearts to be hardened through years of just pushing the Holy Spirit away and not going, becoming more concerned about what man or their denomination or their church or their pastor thinks about them than what Jesus Christ thinks about them. This is hard preaching this morning, but I tell you what. All these churches that say, well, we want to be a life-giving church. How many times you hear that? That sickens my stomach. Church can't give life. Only Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, can give life. And the only way the life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit occurs is if Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross is taught as the central truth, and the people must put their faith in that and that alone. That's when you get all kind of foolishness, when you don't have that desire. And that's why Jesus didn't chide Peter. Even though Peter had made a horrible mistake here, actually fighting contrary to the perfect will of God, Jesus knew in Peter, this man's hungry for my truth. God can work with you then. If you're hungry to really want to please Jesus with your life, we're all going to make errors. We're all going to make mistakes at times. But if you've got that hunger in your heart that says, Lord, I really want to make you happy. Even when you goof up and you make the dumbest of errors, he'll pull you back. He didn't chide Peter. He didn't give up on Peter because that's what he saw in Peter's spirit. That's paramount that every believer have that. Because I don't know, maybe I'm preaching to a bunch that's a lot farther down the road spirits than I am, but I mess up a lot. I know the message of the cross. But I'm still human, and sometimes I do stupid things, okay? And you don't need to know them, because you do them too. You got your own says, like Brother Lauren says, Phil, you know, eat at your own buffet. You know, making mistakes with God is a buffet, you know, and your plate's just as full as mine is, so you eat off of it, okay? Eat off your own plate. But it's that in the heart that says, Jesus, I really want to please you. And I'm willing to submit to your will and to your way, even if it runs contrary to what I think. God can work with you then. So I believe the Holy Spirit's having me bring that out this morning just as a little check in all of our spirits. Let's make sure that that attitude is in our hearts. We're saying, Lord, we want to please you first. We want to please you first and above everybody else. And that shows you the grace that he has, and that he could have told Peter in front of all those soldiers and the rest of the disciples. Because this was the second time Peter had done this. It really was, to this effect, working against his will. Because when the Lord had told him that he was going to have to go to the cross, Peter was the one who jumped up and said, "Not so, Lord." So this was really the second time Peter's made the same mistake in finding contrary to what's been revealed as God's perfect plan. And Jesus keeps working with him. But look at the fruit of his grace. This Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he was the one to preach the first Pentecostal message. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus saw. Aren't you glad? This will make you shout. Aren't you glad that when Jesus looks at us, he sees the end product? We look at us right now and we say, man, I'm a mess. I'm never going to get straightened out. But I'm here to tell you, God sees the end of the faith that you possess and what he's ultimately going to transform you into. And I can assure you this morning that it is something glorious. It is something wondrous. It is something above all you could ask or think. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise today. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that speaks of his grace toward the believer who has a heart to get it right. You know, I've pastored folks in churches before. I can understand this. I mean, where I've seen them doing things that I knew, I'm just like, oh, God, please don't let them do that. But the Lord has told me, you just let me deal with them. Don't try to play the Holy Spirit. They're my child. I'll take care of them. And time again, I've watched him do it. He loves us. He loves us, his children. But secondly, what makes this last miracle so great is that Malchus was one of the ones who had come to take him away to kill him. Now think of that. He's one of the ones who has come to inflict pain upon Jesus. And this Malchus is the recipient of the last miracle that Jesus would perform on earth. What grace he has toward the sinner. What love he has toward the sinner. If you survey history, and if you would just want to look at Jesus from a historical standpoint, discounting for a moment and laying aside the fact that he was God in the flesh, just looking at his life from a historical standpoint, there's never been nobody else like him who ever walked this planet. Because any other religious leader, after Malchus's ear was cut off, number one, they didn't have the power to heal it, first of all. But number two, Jesus was God. Every other religious leader has been a fake and a phony, like Muhammad, like Buddha, like what Islam teaches. It would have been a good thing that Malchus's ear was cut off. Islam would have taught he got what he deserved. He got what he deserved. But Jesus Christ, like nobody else in history, reaches down, having the power to do so, and reattaches that ear, the last miracle he'll perform before going to the cross. And it was performed for one of his enemies. What grace. What grace that is. What grace the Lord has toward humanity. And here's what he told me to bring out before we go to the altar call this morning. The Jesus we serve, he loves you this morning. There's some of you, you need a healing this morning. You need a divine healing in your body. And if he'll do it for one of his enemies that's coming to take him to the cross, why will he not do it for you, his child that he went to the cross for, that he shed his blood for? Some of you need a healing this morning. And the Lord told me He's going to give it to you. Today's your day. Today's your day. This ain't my word. I'm just the spiritual Domino's pizza boy. I'm just delivering this. He's going to be the one to heal you. It ain't going to be me. Don't dare confuse just because I might be the one he chose to transmit the message through that I'm the one who's going to do the healing. No. No, 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 no. It'll be him. It'll be him, but he will do it for you. And he specifically told me at the altar call, you tell my people exactly what I just told you. That if I'll heal one of my enemies who is against me, will I not heal one of my very own children who has their faith in me? Glory to God. Glory to God. The grace and mercy that he had toward Peter and toward Malchus has not changed one iota since the day this event happened. He's still full of grace and mercy and power. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that this morning? I feel his power coursing through this building. I feel the Holy Spirit moving mightily today. And I want you to go to him. I've prayed all week long. Lord, how do you want this altar service done? Because he told me he wanted to heal some people. And he told me, he said, you step back. And he said, you let me lay my hands on them. If they'll come to me and ask me for the healing, I'll give it. Hallelujah. But he said, you get out of my way. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I love what Hebrews 13 and 9 tells us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chris, could one of you all put on just some instrumental worship music if we have some right now? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, we do not declare human power. Lord, we want no man, no flesh to be glorified today. Lord, we want Jesus Christ to be glorified. Because he is the only one who's worthy to be glorified and to receive glory. And Lord, just like you did when you spoke to the Father thousands of years ago, glorify your name today, Lord Jesus. Glorify your precious name and person today. For Lord, your children need healing today. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is telling me now it doesn't matter what kind of healing you need. It may be in your emotions. Maybe fear is plaguing your life. Maybe you were abused horribly as a child and you've never been able to totally break away from it. Jesus Christ has enough healing power to take that out of your soul and spirit, to where maybe you'll still have the memory, but the ramifications of it that are causing havoc in your life will be taken away. He'll heal your thoughts. He'll heal your thoughts. He'll heal your spirit. If that's what you need this morning, let him heal you. Let him heal you. Maybe you need a physical healing of some type. He'll give you that. But I just want him to get all the glory for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel him moving so mightily right now. Now listen to this. It's no negative confession to tell the Lord specifically what type of healing you need. There are those in the church who would say, oh, don't say you have this or that wrong with you, because that's a negative confession. That's foolishness. Blind Bartimaeus would have never been healed if when Jesus asked him, Lord, what will you have me do unto you? If he hadn't said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. If you'd have had those silly word of faith teachers there that have been telling him, oh, no, Bartimaeus, tell him you're fine. Tell him you have 20/20 vision, that everything's okay. No. Tell the Lord what you have need of this morning. He already knows. You say, but don't he? Yes, he already knows. But when we call upon him, we're acknowledging to him, you're the only one who can help me, Jesus. You're the only one who can help me. Maybe you need a healing in your business of some type. I'm talking about total healing in every area. The Holy Spirit's pressing hard on this. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your home, maybe on your job. Oh, yes, Lord. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Holy Ghost. At the cross. Praise God. Now I'm going to ask everybody who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord. Lord, and as we come today, let your power begin to fall on this altar. Lord, there's nothing special about this front area in and of itself, but your us coming forward to present ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, that's what makes it special. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Paula, would you go pray for this sister, Rhonda, right here? Rhonda, the Lord has told me he wants to touch you today. I don't know what your condition is. This is a dear Christian sister here. Would you also just stretch forth your hands toward her? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever Rhonda needs today, Lord, we don't need to know, you know. Heal her, Lord, in whatever way she needs this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tara, would you come here, honey? I want us to pray for you today. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward her? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I know you're doing a great work in my little girl's life, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for giving her to me. She's such a blessing to me. But Lord, I also know that the enemy would try to pull her talents and abilities away to be used in the kingdom of darkness. Lord, just bless her and keep her. In the name of Jesus, Paula, God's hand's on you right now. Pray for her. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't care who you use. It's up to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cameron, would it be all right if Pastor Greg prayed for you today? Michaela, you want to come here, huh? Or it's not Michaela. That's Michaela. Okay. I thought I had her confused for a minute. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward them? Do you know Jesus in the Bible? He said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Do you know how important you two are to him and how much he loves you? We just want to pray for you all this morning. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, lay your hand upon these precious kids, Lord. And Father, we know that you're able to always protect and lead and guide, that nothing is powerful than the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know these young kids' lives, I know your hand's upon them, Lord, and their other little sister, and we pray for her this morning too, Lord. Just keep them in your loving care. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we know when we commit anything to your care, it's going to be all right. No matter how the forces of darkness may appear to be coming against externally, Lord, you'll be there. And I know you're going to keep these children in your care. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward Connie here? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever healing Connie would need this morning, touch her mind, touch her spirit, Lord, and minister your healing grace to her. She is your child, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name this morning, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, everyone else, you don't have to have me call you out. If you need a healing of any kind, and the Holy Spirit keeps stressing that to me, of any kind, you believe him for it right now. Tell him exactly. Tell him exactly what you want him to do. I feel such a rich power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe you do too around this altar this morning. He's confirming his word. His presence confirms the word that's just been preached. And he wants to heal today. And he has the power to do it. Let him. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone who has their hands raised right now, asking you for a divine healing touch. I believe this hour it's coming. Lord, all I am is your messenger boy. And Lord, I've done my best to preach what you told me to tell your precious people today. I would not play with them. These are your people, Lord Jesus. I would not play with them or just try to stir their emotions for anything in the world. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart you've spoken to me. You'll heal today. You wanted to heal today, and you would. And in that mighty name of Jesus, at which the dead have been raised, the blinded eyes have been opened, the lame have been made to walk, the emotionally crushed have been restored. Heal today, Lord Jesus, in your precious and mighty name, with faith exclusively in you, to glorify you, Lord Jesus. Let the healing power, and I believe it's going forth right now all over this altar, into hearts and lives, into souls and spirits that have so needed a touch from heaven and need your divine healing in every area, whatever it may be. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And I just praise him, church. Thank him, yes. Thank him, because he's done some great things around this altar this morning. Mikode yalamahasia, Jesus, there's none like you. Jesus, there is none like unto you. Savior, healer, redeemer, you're our doctor, you're our lawyer. You're everything to us, Lord Jesus. And we confess and give you praise that you have healed us today. We receive and believe you've healed us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Have your way around this altar, Holy Ghost. Continue to bless and uplift the people of God. If God's leading you to go pray for somebody right now, you do it. He wants to use you to pray for that person. Just go pray for him. That's it, Heather. You believe God for her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just believe right now. That's all he asks of you. Just believe him. You don't have to try to work it up. Just keep believing him. Lord, we praise you today for the great work that you're doing in hearts and lives and in our physical bodies today. Lord God, Lord God, I feel with all of my being, you're doing mighty things right now. And have done mighty things already. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There's such a rich and beautiful flow of the Holy Spirit around this altar this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your healing virtue, Lord. Lord, what can we mere mortal humans say to you but thank you? We have nothing to give, but we praise you for your grace and your mercy toward us, and that you will provide all things for us, Lord, all things. And Lord, you'll heal us, for we're your children. And Lord, you said all power was given unto you under heaven and earth. Just keep standing and enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you didn't need a healing this morning, but I know you have to sense his wonderful presence, and that's doing wonderful things in us. Hallelujah. Things that we don't even understand he's doing right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps several today, I believe the Holy Spirit just told me to pray this way. You need your faith increased. You need your faith increased to believe him for something. And he's saying now he's going to give it. Just believe him for it. And don't try to work it up, because you can't do it. Only God can give faith. God's the creator of faith. Only he can give you what he wants you to have. You can't work up or... Only he can give it. That's what he's telling me. And if you feel you need some more, he's saying, I'm freely going to give it right now to all who ask and believe me. And if that's you, you just do that. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I'm asking for all who would need an increase of faith to believe you in a particular area, Lord, that maybe their mind's been worried, troubled in, thinking, oh God, this is the ramifications of this situation, they're never going to be overcome. The Lord is saying now, he'll give you the faith. He'll give you the faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see the manifestation of what he's doing right now until years from now. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling me to say. I know it. Whatever you're believing him for, whatever's had your mind worried and weighed down, you will not see the manifestation of it for years to come. But if you'll believe him right now, he's going to give you the faith to believe. He's doing it, and you'll see the miracle years down the road. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of us who need fresh faith, an increase of faith, Lord, only you can give it to us. We are helpless. Only you, because our faith is in what you did for us on the cross and your precious shed blood, can you send an increase of faith to us. And Lord, do that for each and every one right now to believe you, that you're at work right now, but the manifestation of what you're doing may not be seen for several years. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? That means right now, Lord Jesus, by faith we reach out and say that we already see the manifestation. That we know you've already done it. Even though we can't see it physically right now, we know this day you've done it. And we thank you for that increase of faith today. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Lord, don't we serve a wonderful Savior? Don't we serve a wonderful Savior? Hallelujah. Would you just give him a hand of praise today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. My Lord, I so thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's been a joy to be with you in service today. Philip and Rhonda, we really enjoyed having you all with us. Whenever you're camping or in this neck of the woods, you're family to us. You all just come back and be with us. Hug their neck, shake their hand, welcome them. I think y'all live down towards Cincinnati, don't you? Miamisburg. Okay, well, anytime you can be with us, you're welcome. We'd love to have you. For the rest of you, this Wednesday night, as you know, we've been doing a series of teachings on just what people wanted to know. As we were concluding our teaching on hell this last Wednesday night, of course, the place, you know, called hell, I thought, did I say that wrong? In any event, I think those of you that attend regularly, you know what I'm so stumblingly trying to say. But in the conclusion of that course, we got on two issues. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white judgment throne. And I just sensed from the whole congregation, and besides that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about it going home, that over the next few weeks, we're going to cover those two areas of Scripture. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white judgment throne. Two separate judgments altogether. One is for the believers. The other one is going to be for lost sinners. But we're going to cover those in depth probably over the next two or three weeks. I felt the Holy Spirit leading me that the people of God wanted to know more about that. And he said, that's what I want you to teach on. So there's where we're going. So there's where we're going to pick up this Wednesday night. Okay? It's been a joy to be with you. Paula, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your day out there. And have a great day. God bless you. I don't see how you couldn't after coming out of this.